Here's a thought I will cringingly title, I Dropped a Lens. There are probably no sadder words in a photographer's life than oops, crash, bounce, and ouch. Not for the first time, and I'm sorry to say probably not for the last time, I dropped a lens a month or so ago, and not on some soft, mossy cushion. No, in the parking lot, it fell out, crashed on the asphalt, rolled a couple of feet, and came to a stop. And obviously, I'm now concerned about that lens. So I decided to do some serious pixel peeping and see if I had damaged the lens, and found out some interesting things, maybe not so much about the lens as about me in the process. I've had this lens for quite a while, so I have a lot of archived images that I could do a search, metadata search for, and find samples from all kinds of subjects, all kinds of apertures, shutter speeds, ISOs, etc. And I had that to compare to those images that I had photographed after I dropped the lens. Mostly they were done as test images more than anything else, at least until I had completed the analysis about whether or not I'd broken my lens. But there were a few things that occurred to me in the process that I hadn't fully thought of before I started close examination. And because I was mostly concerned about corner sharpness, which is where the flaws will show up most dramatically, that's where I spent my time pixel peeping. And the first thing I realized was that a lot of times corners are soft, not because of a characteristic of a lens, but rather because of depth of field fall off. I have lots and lots of pictures where the corners are soft, but not because the lens is soft. They're soft because the corners are out of focus due to depth of field limitations. The answer to that in the real-world photography is you just stop down a little bit, maybe f8 or f11 or something. But of course, if you want to show the flaw in a lens, you'll shoot it wide open because that's where it's likely to exhibit the most dramatic loss of sharpness and the characteristics we don't want to see. So I restricted my metadata search to fairly wide open apertures, which of course compounds the depth of field issue. The wider the aperture, the shallower the depth of field, and a lot of the candidate images that I wanted to use in my comparison were simply no longer valid because the corners were out of focus as they should have been because of depth of field. So then I started looking for flat things, walls and the sides of buildings and subjects that would eliminate the variability of depth of field. They were easy enough to find in my archives. But then I noticed that a lot of times I wasn't perfectly square to the wall or the building or whatever. I might have been slightly at an angle. So that really wasn't a fair comparison because one side of the picture might have been ever so slightly closer to me than the other side of the picture. So they didn't exhibit the same degree of tack sharpness on all four corners. So I had to get even more restricted in terms of which images I was going to use in the comparison. And then it occurred to me that this is a zoom lens, so there may be differences between its performance at the widest angle, something in the middle, and something at the most telephoto. So I had to search for those kinds of images. Of the couple hundred thousand images I have in my Lightroom catalog, I only found about a dozen that fit all those criteria carefully enough that I could use as a comparison to my post-oops images to see if I had knocked a lens element out of alignment. But there again, in all the test shots that I'd done after dropping the lens, some of them I disregarded because of obvious depth of field falloff. Some of the ones of flat objects like walls and the side of the house, I wasn't as perfectly parallel as I should have been. A number of images I had to disregard because of slower handheld shutter speeds. And so it wasn't just that the corners were a little soft, but a lot of times the entire image was a little soft. And then I lost a few images because I needed to shoot them at a large depth of field. So f16 or f22, which obviously introduces diffraction, which looks like the lens is a little soft. You add all of this up, and what it really boils down to is not, is the lens sharp? Because in the real world, there's just too many variables for that to be the one and only consideration. With very careful testing and a very precise, high-resolution comparison, luckily I determined that I think the lens was not damaged. There doesn't appear to be any softness after the drop that didn't appear before the drop. But the point is, I really had to search under very specific circumstances. And if I had not known the lens had been dropped and never done the test, would I have ever seen that one of the corners was a little soft in real-world examples where depth of field and alignment of the film plane to the subject and shutter speeds and ISOs all come into play? The thought I'm left with after all of this experimentation is the acknowledgement that probably my concern over edge-to-edge sharpness is not very practical in the real world of photography. Most people aren't going to look at my photographs and say, gosh, this is a really lovely photograph that I think is a terrific piece of art, if only the edges were a little sharper. It's probably worth doing the test just so we know if we've damaged our lens after dropping it, but I'm not sure that's the end-all and be-all of thinking about lenses. Sharpness, after all, and consistency of sharpness in all areas of the photograph is only one of the characteristics that makes a lens virtuous. I'm glad my lens wasn't damaged. On the other hand, the more valuable lesson is maybe I should spend less time worrying about such issues and pixel peeping and fretting and fussing over the corners of my images, and instead recognize that enough sharpness is as good as a feast.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.